Galatians 5:1. Let me read that one more time. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will not, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The first thing I want to talk about in verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That the liberty in Christ, and he defines it, itself here, and it says, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we see it going around all around the world. It's floating around YouTube and on TV and in different churches that, you know, people, they preach Jesus Christ, but they entangle people with the yoke of bondage. When Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, as a born-again believer in the church age, you are free from the law. You are bought back from the curse of sin. Jesus Christ paid your debt, and that's the reason you can be saved and you can be sealed, because your debt has been paid in full. You don't have to go to church on the Sabbath, and you don't have to keep all the law to get to heaven. You keep the law because you love Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with getting saved. It has everything to do with the fact that you are saved. Amen? If you're saved, there's the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you that gives you the desire to do, for the first time, to do right. And when I say to do right, that means things that please God, not things that please the flesh, things that please the world, and for all goodness sake, not things that please the devil. Amen? And let me say this, after saying that, if you're doing things to please the flesh and doing things to please the world, it will be pleasing to the devil. If you're doing things opposed to the old nature, the nature of the flesh, and you're doing things opposed to the world when the world's going the wrong way, it will please God. So ultimately, your life as a born-again believer is pleasing to either the Lord or the Antichrist, to either things that are holy or things that are unholy. What are you pleasing? What are you living for? What are you doing? What are you following? You following the spirit of man or the spirit of God? The spirit of man is not a good spirit. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit of God. But the liberty in Christ, you are free. You have liberty to not put your faith and confidence in the law. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled the law so you and I don't have to, as far as salvation goes. You have a liberty there. You don't have to watch every step you take. You know, and the thing, you think about the Hindus and these different religions that believe in reincarnation, and you know, a lot of times you'll see them, the really strict, the Orthodox Hindus, if you will, They won't even want to step on a bug because it might be Uncle Joe that passed on and come back as a beetle. Somebody should have stepped on the Beatles a long time ago, amen. That messed this country up more than anything, amen. The Beatles and Elvis Presley and all that gyrating garbage. And probably kick somebody's idol now. He talked about Elvis. I ain't never going back to church, amen. And the Beatles, I got Abbey Road on my car in the back, all that stuff. Hey, you talk about some wicked stuff that's going on. You talk about this country being in a dumpster. The big part of it, it started that landslide down into hell when the Bibles were changed, the music was changed, and the thought process on how this place began changed. Think about it. The timing, the devil, he's subtle, and he put all this stuff together at one time within 10 years of each other or so. They kicked God and the Bible out of school. They let Elvis and the Beatles in school, amen. And then they started teaching people that everybody come from monkeys. And when they teach people everybody come from monkeys, they start acting like they belong in the zoo. Amen. This place turned into a zoo. But there's a liberty in Christ, but we're not supposed to abuse that liberty. We're supposed to live like we love Jesus Christ. If a man loves me, he will keep my commandments, the Lord said. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Amen. So you look at the Ten Commandments, you look at the commandments, and there are a lot more than Ten Commandments. You look at the basic Ten Commandments, and you look at the churches out there that are trying to go by that for salvation. But you know what? He says, if a man loves me, he'll keep my commandments. But if you're saved, you'll go far beyond that. If a man loves me, he'll keep my words. He'll keep my words. Get over to the book of Revelation. He talks about the church of Philadelphia, the Philadelphian church age. You know what he bragged on them for? They kept his word. That's the only church age he says that about. That's gone now in Laodicea. People don't have it. They don't believe it. They don't preach it. They don't teach it. And those that do preach it and teach it and believe it don't practice it hardly anymore. So you haven't kept God's word if you're not keeping his commandments and keeping his words according to the word of God. I believe this book right here. But stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free. Look at verse 2 and 3. Behold, I, Paul, saying to you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. You got the liberty in Christ, you got the law of the lost. The lost people look at the law and they say, if I can just keep that, or maybe, they don't even think they're going to keep it. They think if they get like a 70%, they might be all right. Of course, now in school, it's probably a 60%, amen, and they'll probably grade on the curve. God doesn't grade on the curve. He grades on Jesus Christ, amen. He doesn't look at people and say, well, I might let you in because you had a D- in, you didn't have an F, you had a D- in your walk. You had a D- in the world. He's going to let you in and say, well, you had an F, but this other guy was a little bit worse, so we rounded you up to a D. God doesn't look at things that way. God looks at things as whether or not you are covered with the righteousness of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's, guess what? If you're covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you get an A+. Amen. Nothing else will do. But He warns against the law of the lost. He says if He's talking to people and dealing with people that a lot of them get born again and they're saved believers, and then the Jews come along and they're saying, well, you gotta keep the law. They're mixing the law and grace and faith, and they're mixing it all up. And some of them aren't even getting saved because they think, well, it's Jesus Christ plus my works. Or it's Jesus Christ plus keeping the law. I talked to a fellow here a while back about the Lord and salvation. He goes, well, Jesus Christ was the door to open my opportunity up to keep the law because I couldn't have done it without Him. Well, I kind of agree with that, but not for salvation. I mean, without the Holy Spirit of God, the capital S Spirit in the Bible, without the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you don't have any choice, you don't have a chance of pleasing God. But as far as salvation goes, you and the law have nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ and the law has everything to do with it because He fulfilled it. The only thing the law does for you is teaches you that you're a sinner, wicked as hell, deserve to die and go to hell, and Jesus Christ is the Savior. It's a schoolmaster pointing us to Jesus Christ. So the liberty in Christ, the law of the lost, a lot of people out there trying to keep it. Well, you got to believe in Christ, but then you got to live it. Heard people say, well, you got to live it, and then until I can live it, I ain't going to try to get saved. I'm not going to get saved. Hey, if you could live it, you wouldn't need Jesus Christ for salvation. You need to turn to Jesus Christ as a Savior and realize you're a sinner and say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. It's personal, amen. The law of the lost. Look at verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Grace. The losing out on the offer. There's two different things they can lose out on. If they're lost and they go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in the law, they're losing out on a chance to get saved. So they got the grace of God, Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the righteousness of God, the justification of God, the blood atonement was made by God's Son, God Himself. They've got Jesus Christ right there, and they're looking at Jesus Christ and saying, hey, I'm going to trust you plus my works. They're losing out on salvation. They're losing out on the opportunity. They're losing out on the offer. And if they're saved and they're going back under the law, putting themselves back on the, under the law, they're losing out on the offer to rest in Christ. You can rest in Christ. Now look, we struggle. We fall. The Bible says a just man gets back up, though. You see, I'm not saying that you should be, that you are going to be perfect and sinless. I'm saying that you should have a desire to sin less. Amen? And you know, that the most, one of the most discouraging things you'll ever hear is somebody preaching from the pulpit like they're sinless and you're wicked. The world has a weird idea. I had a weird idea before I was grown much in Christ. I had a weird idea that preachers walk. I thought preachers were just perfect. And I thought if they weren't perfect, God wouldn't use them. But then I went in the Old Testament and found out that God used a donkey. Amen. That's how God encouraged me to start preaching. Amen. He said, I used a donkey. I could probably use you if you let me. Amen. But the thing is, we're in this thing together. We all have times where we're just wicked as the devil. And saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going the wrong direction sometimes. Sometimes we come to the fork in the road, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to go this way, and the flesh, the world, the devil says you need to go that way. And sometimes people don't fall into sin. They dive in head first. They say, I'm going the wrong way. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Christ says not to use your liberty as an occasion to sin. So I'm not condoning sin. I'm not saying we ought to sin, but I'm saying when you sin, you ought to get right with God and go on for God. Amen. One thing that's missing in the churches, one thing that's missing in individual saved people's lives is the ability to get right. Amen. Hey, the ability to get wrong is easy. But we've got the ability to get right. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, we got a runner. Amen. To cleanse us from, listen to this, all unrighteousness. And we like to look around and sometimes and say, well, I got upset when somebody caught me off in traffic. I got right with God and I'm all right. But the guy down the street, that drunkard, the guy down the street that got messed up in the drugs, the guy down the street that committed this, that, or the other, he can't get right with God. That Bible says all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That Bible says if you're still breathing God's air, you have an opportunity to get right. If you just fall on your face and cry out to God, say, Lord, forgive me. I'm a firm believer in an old-fashioned altar where you go to a church service, you say, I'm going to go forward, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to get right with God. I also believe you get right in your seat. But I also believe that sometimes the Holy Spirit says, hey, go down the aisle, and the devil says, don't do that, that'll embarrass you. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, go down, don't, you know, come on, come down the aisle, you know, there'll be more people down there, and the devil says, ain't nobody going down there, you're the only one that's sinning, everybody else is right with God today. And you got a whole bunch of people sitting in the church going, I don't know what to do, I don't know whether to go forward, I don't want to bow my head, I don't know whether to serve the world, the flesh, and the devil, or do what God wants me to do. I think there's something really good about, they say, and I don't care what anybody thinks. If you can't say what, I don't care what anybody thinks amongst believers and go forward and get right with God, how are you going to stay right against unbelievers out in the world where it's everything's against God? Amen. If you can't walk an aisle and bow your head and say, Lord, forgive me, in front of people that are needing to do it themselves, how in the world are you going to fight the battle outside the walls of the church? Think about it. If you can't get right in a place that's clean where the Word of God is being preached, how are you going to stay right outside in the filth? Think about that. You know, it's talk about revivals. There used to be revivals last 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks long. And you know what would happen? People, I mean hundreds of people get saved. And you know, by the way, they were sitting on straw bales. They were out in sawdust, tent meetings, 105 degrees. Snot-nosed kids running around screaming. people show up, drunkards, whoremongers, they show up, they'd walk down there and they'd bow their head and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them and save them. People were getting right with God. You know why? Because people knew how to get right. Say, oh, I don't go to church because of the hypocrites. Well, everybody's a hypocrite. I'm going to tell you something. Most born-again believers are hypocrites because they act like they're right. A hypocrite's an actor. They act like they're right and refuse to get right with God. Well, if I was by myself, it was just me and the Lord, I'd get right. Well, you've been by yourself, you and the Lord, all week. If you didn't get right then, you're not getting right now. Tell me when you're getting right outside this place. Amen. Tell me how you're going to get it right at Walmart with them playing the filthy music, everybody running around half naked, people dressed like dogs and cats, people running around in pajamas and flip-flops. How are you going to get right in Walmart if you can't get right in the house of God? Losing out on the offer, they had an opportunity to rest in Christ. You know, most born-again believers live miserable lives because they won't get right with God. And the most miserable person in the world is not a lost person. It's a saved person out of the will of God. You know what lost people can do? They can find somebody to commune with and hang out with and do sin with. But when you're saved and you're out of the will of God, you don't fit in with anybody. You don't fit in with the lost because you're saved. You don't fit in with the people that are trying to do right because you're not. You're not an encouragement and a help, and you can't be a blessing to those that are trying to do right because you're wrong. You think this preacher don't have to get right all the time? Amen. So the preacher's got a special flesh. His flesh doesn't bother him anymore. Oh, good night. Come on now. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profiteth nothing. Losing out on the offer. Look at verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. The longing. You got the liberty in Christ. You got the law of the lost. You got losing out on that offer. And you got the longing of the saved. You know what the longing of the saved is? For Jesus Christ to call us out of here. That Jesus Christ... Hey, look. I don't care what you do politically. If you want to vote for whatever side, you want to vote for a donkey, you want to vote for an elephant, they're both probably Balaam's relatives anyway. But I am telling you this. You want to be right with Jesus Christ when He calls us home. And I think a lot of people don't want to believe in the rapture. Even though it's clear in the Bible there's a church-age rapture. And I think a lot of people are not longing for the rapture because they're so latched onto this world. They're so latched onto this world. You know what God will do every once in a while? He will kick the slats out of you so you let go of the world out from under you. So you let go of the world. Right now it's fine with me. Right now it's fine with me. Amen. I'd much rather it be after we all bow our head and get right with God here in about 10, 15, 20 minutes or an hour, whatever the Lord does. See, y'all just lost it now. But I'd much rather we all just prayed and said, Lord, forgive me, save me. We had the Holy Spirit singing Amazing Grace in our heart, and He says, come up hither. But I'm ready now. They had a longing. The longing of the saved is to be with Jesus Christ. Think about it. I know our motives aren't always perfect, right? They're not always pure. It's like, I want to be with Jesus because of what He's done for me. You know, I believe the Lord's allowed this place to turn into such a trash can just to get some of the believers to turn to Him. If you don't want to be with me because of who I am, He says, at least you want to be with me to get out of that mess. But if He isn't who the Bible says He is, we have no hope. But the longing of the saved is to be with Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. We see the love of God expressed. That love of God expressed. How's the love of God expressed? Well, if you go to the big football churches, the football stadium churches, they say, well, God loves you and God wants you to be prosperous and He wants you to have money. And if you've got $1 million and a Jaguar and $2 million mansions, that God, you know, that's the love of God. Just no, that's not necessarily the truth at all. That's usually a lie. If you know, the love of God was expressed on Calvary. The love of God was in Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came and walked this filthy earth, and he walked toward Calvary, and he allowed him to put him on the cross. He put himself on that cross. He allowed it. He spread his arms out and said, take me for them. And he shed his blood, was ridiculed and mocked and murdered for you and I to get to heaven. That's the love of God. And if God never gave you anything besides that, that's much more than this world ever deserved. And you got preachers out there saying, well, God loves you and he wants you to be rich and he wants you to be famous and he wants you to have power. Yeah, he wants you to have power. He wants you to have the power to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ and see people get born again. Be born again. Adopted into the family of God. You think it makes more God more happy? It satisfies God more? If you got $1 million in the bank, you never talk about Jesus Christ other than saying, look at what he's done for my bank account? Or you think it pleases God more if you're living in a tent somewhere telling everybody about Jesus Christ? Look what the Lord's done for me. Think about the testimonies. And I'm not saying rich people can't love God. I'm saying for the most part they love money. People love money. People love money. The love of money is the root of all evil. But think of the testimony. You get a guy living in a $5 million mansion that's driving a Bentley that, you know, he's got his shoes cost more than your entire wardrobe, amen, and if he gets a scratch on them, he'll throw them away and get a new one. You get somebody like that going, look what Jesus has done for me. After he just spent $500 to get his hair greased back by the barber that comes to the church to take care of it, that probably works in Hollywood too, makeup artist, look what the Lord's done for me. Or you think the guy down there is living in a tent that's got nothing says, hey, look what the Lord's done for me. And the Lord's like, how could they be so happy? And you've got people around the world that have everything that the world could offer and they're miserable. The testimony of those that aren't seeking after the things of this world is much greater than those that have their claws in this world. Amen. The love of God was expressed on Calvary. Look at verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. You know what the leaven of the Pharisees is? It's religion. It's not about a relationship with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. It's about religion. It's about if you do this, and if you do that, and if you pay this, and if you pay that, and if you have our church pray for you, if you have our church do this, or you join our church, or you get baptized in our water, or sprinkled in our water. And that's religion. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. That leaven is anything that adds to or takes away from the death, burial, and resurrection, blood atonement of Jesus Christ. That's leaven. You know what leaven does? It puffs up. So you get people running around there puffed up. They think they're better than everybody else because they do this, or they do that, or they don't do this, or they don't do that. And most of them have never done the one thing you have to do to be right with God. And that is to realize they're a sinner and call on Jesus Christ, say, Lord, forgive me and save me. The leaven of the Pharisees. You know what Jesus Christ preached against more than anything? Religion. You know what he preached more about, heaven or hell? Hell. You know why? Because he didn't want you to get caught up in the leaven of the Pharisees and end up in hell. He didn't want this world to get caught up in the ideas and the traditions of man, but to be set free, made free by the words of the living God. That Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That Bible says in Romans 10, 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say anything about being a Baptist, being a Methodist, being a Presbyterian, being religious, being faithful to the earthly garbage, or worshiping Mother Earth, or hugging a tree, or getting an electric car, or anything like that. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, shall be saved. No leaven there. When I tell you you're a sinner and you deserve to burn in hell, he died, he was buried, and rose again, your only hope is calling on him, there's nothing there to puff you up. Amen. Now, if I tell you Jesus Christ died to open up the opportunity for you to be good enough, now you just go out there and be good enough, There's something there to puff you up. It's leaven. So you can walk out these doors and say, and I'm going to do something equal to or greater than what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. How wicked is that? The leaven of the Pharisees. 13 and 14. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of God expressed in verse number 6, the leaven of the Pharisees in 9. Now we see the love for the brother. You know how God's love is expressed? By treating people the way God says to treat them. You know, if you love your neighbor, you won't break any of the commandments. Amen. That's why you can say that the greatest commandments is love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your spirit, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The reason you can say that is because if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your spirit, you love the Lord completely and you love your neighbor as yourself, you cannot break any of those commandments if you truly love the Lord and you love your neighbor. Amen. It's when you love yourself. Amen. And you love yourself so much that you're willing to do whatever yourself wants. And you don't care who you trample on. You don't care if you mow down your neighbor. You don't care if you trample the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't care if you go against the Word of God. You don't care anything except as long as you get what you want. All you care about is feeding the flesh, fitting in the world, and messing around with the things of the devil. But Jesus Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. The love for the brethren. Honestly, we all know, we've all probably been around brethren that we just don't want to be around. We might have been that brethren nobody wanted to be around at one time or another. But you still pray for them and not take pleasure in them falling. Amen. And not take pleasure in them backsliding, being out of the will of God. I mean, there's a time and a place to separate. If you're having struggles of your own, sometimes the struggles other people are having are too much. You need to get away from them. Amen. But that doesn't mean you have to turn on them and hate them. You can always pray for them. I don't do it like I should, I'll be honest with you, but I do pray for Donald Trump. I do pray for Kamala Harris. I do pray for all the politicians. Usually it's a blanket prayer. I hope the politicians, Lord, save their soul so they'll quit their wickedness and they'll glorify you, and somebody will stand up there and say, the Bible is what we need to go by, and Jesus Christ is the answer. Lord, if you would do that, that would make such a difference. It may not make a whole bunch of difference in the country as far as where the country's going, but it'd make a lot of difference where individuals are going. Jesus Christ didn't die to save America. Hey, Jesus Christ didn't die to save the United States of America. He died to save sinners. And he's still in the saving business. I'm not sure he's in the United States of America business anymore, but he is in the saving business. The love for the brethren, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There's the lust of the flesh. You got the liberty in Christ, the law of the lost, the losing out on the offer, the longing of the saved, the love of God expressed, the leaven of the Pharisees, the love for the brethren, the lust of the flesh. The biggest problem is the lust of the flesh. You know when the lust of the flesh is going to go away totally? The rapture. You know it's going to go away in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye? You see, here's what the devil does. How do I know this? Well, for two reasons. First of all, I'm saved, I got a Bible, and I got a little bit of experience at failing. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And I'm not just talking about your iPhone or your app or your Android phone, amen. I believe those are the devil's devices too. You got to watch out. But I'll tell you, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. You know what he'll do? He'll get you to come along and get focused on everybody else. You know why God put it in the Bible that says comparing themselves among themselves were not wise? Because the devil will get you to say, well, I've sinned a little bit, but I'm not like that guy. Well, we're both saved, but look what she's doing or what he's doing. The devil gets so focused on somebody else that you forget about yourself, and you're not taking care of your own business. You're not taking care of, listen, your own business. When I say your business, it's your relationship, your business between you and the Lord. I know, Lord, I know I'm doing this wrong. Instead of getting right, I'm going to look at somebody else and say, I'm not like them. I'm better than that. I used to be like that, but I'm not like that. Now I'm just a little bit like that. Amen. You know what the lust of the flesh is? To glorify the flesh. Say, I'm better. Oh, you got them all over the world. You got them in pulpits. You got them in pews. You got them all over the place. Going, look at us. We're doing things right. And everybody else is doing things wrong. And we're keeping this and doing that and doing the other and drilling wells in Haiti. Wells, not whales like the fish, but the whales. Wells, I'm kind of hillbilly, so it's those things with water in them. Hey, man, we're drilling the wells. We got electric cars, and we're voting for Harris, or we're voting for Trump, or whatever. So we're right, and everybody else is wrong. And the Lord's saying, "Hey, wait a minute. How about comparing yourself to me? How are you when you're looking at you besides Jesus Christ? When you look at Jesus Christ and His righteousness, and you look at you, how do you stack up? You're always going to be able to find somebody that's doing a little bit worse than you. Hopefully." Hopefully, there might be a time you can't. Usually that's days, hours, or months after you said, look at me, I'm better than everybody. But the truth is, the lust of the flesh will drag you off in the ditch and leave you there, and it's just a mess. The lust of the flesh is to have power, to have money, recognition, the glory in the flesh, the glory in self, glory in the things, and not glory in Jesus Christ. If the devil can get you caught up in the lust of the flesh, he can destroy your opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ. He can take that from you. He can steal that from you. And when you're standing at the judgment seat of Christ, I promise you, I give you my word as a preacher directly from the Word of God, the hay, wood, and stubble, the gold, silver, and precious stones, God's not going to look and say, hey, you had more money than everybody else. Enter into the glory of God. He's not going to say that. He's not going to look at you and say, well, you sinned a little bit less than the person that sat next to you, or you sinned a little bit less than your neighbor, or maybe you sinned less than the preacher that was on TV or whatever. We're watching preachers drop like flies. Pray for me because I'm just flesh too. I don't want to drop like a, I don't want to be in that count. And I don't want to be the one that says it can never happen to me, because those that have said that it never happened to me are dropping like flies all over the world. All over the world. And you know what's happened with Christians? Oh, that can never happen to me. I'm not going to be like that. I'm better than them. You know what they're doing? They're dropping like flies all over the world. Because of the lust of the flesh. It's because of pride. Look at verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now listen. That verse doesn't say, if you follow the Spirit, you're not under the law. That verse says, if you be led by the Spirit. That Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of Christ in you, and that Spirit is trying to lead you. It's up to you whether you follow it. That's not about whether you're lost or saved. That's about whether you get lost or saved, end up saved. That's about whether you are saved. If you are saved, you are led by the Spirit. If you are lost, you are led by the flesh. Now, it's up to you what you follow. But if you're saved, the Spirit of God is leading you and wanting to guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God is wanting you to allow Him to make the decisions in, on, and through you. If you're saved, the Spirit of God is the leader. You know what Paul said? Paraphrase here, but he's talking about the flesh. He's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about, well, let's jump back to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lost person can't walk in the Spirit. But a saved person can fulfill the lust of the flesh. Think about that. A lost person can't walk in the Spirit. They have to have the Spirit before they can walk in it. Because when God saved you, He takes you out of sin and places you in Christ. And then you're in that Spirit. And that Spirit is in you, the Spirit of Christ. And you can walk in that Spirit. Or you can be saved as saved can be and just fulfill the lust of the flesh. I preached almost 9 years in the prisons every Sunday. And every time I handed a young man a Bible, sometimes a young girl if it was in a juvenile detention center sometimes, every single time, every single Bible that I think I remember ever handing out, it had Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13, Ephesians 2:8 and 9, and Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh, and 1 Corinthians 10:13. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I don't want to leave you without hope. I want to leave you with a Bible verse that you can hang your hat on. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And if you're saved, you know that verse is true. You know that verse is true, because you yourself have fooled with sin and fooled with sin and fooled with sin and took just right up the edge, and maybe I can get away with this and give. And the Lord says, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. He gives you a way out. And when you get into it, it's not because you slipped and fell in. It's because you made a decision. You said, I know God's given me a way out, but I'm taking the other way. That verse right there, I want people to have hope. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Everything you go through, the way the devil attacks you, there's no new thing under the sun. He's attacking everybody, and sometimes he attacks them a little bit different. But wait your turn. He'll attack you that way later. Nobody in here that's ever been tempted to some different way that nobody else has ever been tempted. And you know what? Christ at all point has been tempted, yet without sin. So the Spirit of God gives you a way out. He gives you the opportunity to be sinless. I'm realistic. I don't think any of us are going to be sinless till the rapture. But He gives you the opportunity. You'll never be able to stand before the Lord and say, well, Lord, if you'd have just given me a way out. And He'll go, well, let's go back and let's replay the tape. All right, let's instant replay this. I'm the referee and the judge here. Let's see what happened. This popped up. You thought this. Your mind started going this way. And you said, well, I could do this or I could do this. You made a decision here. Here you are off out in the sin, the muck and mire of this world, and I give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to make a different decision, and you didn't do it. The leading of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 4, real quick, and we'll wrap this up. Galatians chapter 4. You know what happens when you get out of God's will and you start living like the devil? Your mind, you go, I know I'm saved, I know I'm sealed, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. I know I'm sealed. I know God saved me forever. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I know He gave me everlasting life. These things that are written, you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. I know that I have eternal life. But I've messed up so bad that I'm going to have to do some works to get back. You start feeling that way. That's the devil messing with you. When the truth is, you couldn't do any good works to get right with God anyway. All you can do is put it under the blood. Lord, forgive me. I'm a mess. Forgive me. I won't get under the blood and go on. But no, your flesh says, no, we want to work to get back. How is the flesh going to work to justify what the flesh caused to be a mess? The only thing it's going to justify is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about for salvation. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. If you want to walk with the Lord, you want to be right with God, you want to get right when you're wrong, get under the blood of Jesus Christ and go on for the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll give you that opportunity. In Galatians chapter 4, for it is written, verse 22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid, the other by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by the Spirit. There's the old man and the new man right there, the old nature and the new nature. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. There's the first man, the old man, first Adam. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, that's the law, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, that's connected to the church, those born again, those that are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all free people. For it is written, rejoice if thou barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. The old man persecuting the new man. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So the law, those under the law are not going to be heir with those under the promise. You know what it's saying? This flesh is not saved. This is the old nature. This is the bondwoman's product. The old man belongs to the devil. The flesh is not going to heaven. It's not about the law, it's about the promise. And he promised, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember what he said again? Verse number 1, chapter number 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get caught up in the law. Keep the law because you love Jesus Christ. But don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil tell you that God's promises aren't true. And when He saved you forever. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they shall never perish. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Get about the old man in the flesh and live for the Spirit. Live for the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. You know what this book says? Sanctify him through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they are Spirit and they are life. You want to know how to live for Jesus Christ? How to love Jesus Christ the way God wants you to love Him? Hey, God is the Spirit, and if you're going to worship Him, you're going to worship Him in Spirit and in truth. This book is Spirit and truth. You're going to worship Him by this book. You want to walk with Him, you're going to walk with Him through this book. You're going to get that book in you. And when you start getting that book in you, it starts squeezing the garbage of the flesh, the world, and the devil out. You're not going to please God outside that Bible. That's the reason the devil has taken so much effort, so much time, and so much strength against the Word of God. Where most people don't even believe it anymore. Because you can't please God outside of His Word. Can't do it. You can't make up your own way. You're going to do it God's way. You're going to do it God's way. But you know what God's way is? For you to have liberty and not be abused by the world, the flesh, and the devil, but to know that you have freedom in Christ that can't be taken away. But you also have a freedom in Christ to rest that you could give away. When you can rest in Christ knowing that, hey, I'm going to heaven. Not because of me. Not because of me, Lord, but because of Thee, Lord. Father, we love You and thank You for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to get right with You and to be right with You and to walk with You. And Lord, if anybody in here is lost and on their way to hell, if they just get on their knees and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. A few moments of silence, Lord. The altar's open.